to see that.
What are you doing?
I'm going to use this. I'm not using that. I'm going to say.
Thank you.
Testing. Hello. Are you guys hearing me right now? Okay. If you guys are in the back, we would absolutely love if you could just come on up maybe to the first 3-4 rows. We want to make it all cozy. Come on up all the way, fellows. Yes, come on up. Thank you so much. Come on up all the way to the front. Yes, thank you. Again, if you are in the back, come on up all the way up to the first 3-4 rows. We would love everybody to be a little closer, make it more intimate. Okay, so it's 6:30, so we are going to go ahead and get started. Welcome, come on in everybody. If you are coming in, come on up to the first 4 rows. We'd love to fill up the front. For those that don't know who this person's telling you to move up to the front, my name is Matan Hornstein.
And I'm Yaniv.
And in case you haven't put 2 and 2 together, we are Doris's 2 sons. We are so thankful and happy to see you all here. It's such an honor to be here welcoming you all to my mother's pre-launch of her book, her second book, Choose to Be Your Own Champion. You know, we're all here because Doris has moved us in various ways. Some of us have been her friend for years. Some of us have been inspired by her speaking. Some of us she's been our teacher, right? And that's the thing about my mother is she's so dynamic, right? She can just fit into any situation and make friends and warm up the room and energize people, and that's why we all love her. So thank you all for being here. We're going to be talking a lot about her new book, Choose to Be Your Own Champion, and also about her in a little bit. But before we do that, if you didn't see that there was a raffle going on, okay? So, very tragically, 2 years ago, our grandfather, Doris's father's synagogue, he built the synagogue with his own hands. He's in construction. That was his job. But he built this synagogue in Kfar Saba, Israel. 2 years ago, it burnt down in an arson attack. Everything was lost, except for the Torah scrolls. It was really tragic. This was a home, a place of worship for the whole community. People were celebrating birth there. People were celebrating, you know, weddings there, bar and bat mitzvahs. I mean, everything that we would do in this beautiful space, right? And it was devastating to see that it was all gone in a moment. And so this raffle that my mom had the amazing idea to do was to give back to her family that had lost everything. We're actually going to be seeing some videos about that synagogue, and you'll see the utter destruction there. But a part of this book launch, which means so much to her, she wanted to contribute and give back to her family and to that synagogue. And so with the raffle, right, please, if you have not purchased tickets for the raffle, the proceeds are going directly to rebuilding that synagogue. So really, your donations are extremely meaningful. If you already bought the raffle tickets, please buy more. If you haven't bought raffle tickets, it will be a really good time. You will have a chance during this program to buy. We'll be sending people through the aisles, and then we'll do our drawing. And for the drawing, there are prizes. So you will be able to select from three different things. There's breakfast with Doris, coaching with Doris, as well as access to the P-Cube Positive Intelligence app, which has a lot of valued resources just directly built into the app, lessons for you to learn from. So, I mean, in a world that just needs more love these days, this is a really wonderful opportunity to give that forward. So please donate if you are able to and win a prize. I'll turn it over to you.
All right. So we want the whole world to know that this event is happening and how proud we all are of Doris. So make sure you're taking pictures, you're taking videos, post them on Facebook, tag each other, tag Doris, and make sure to use the hashtag #BeYourOwnChampion. If you haven't bought a book yet and you're still looking to become the best version of yourself, we will have more opportunities to buy both this book and my mom's first book, Moments of the Heart. And what's really cool, really impressed me when she told me, is that in each of the books is a blessing or an intention that she wrote, and every single one of them is different. So whatever you get, it's going to be unique, one of a kind, special to you. For example, mine says, call your mother more. No, but really it says, the strength you admire in others lives within you too. So really beautiful words. Make sure to check out that message when you buy your book. And also, make sure to find her at some point. She would love to see all of you and connect with all of you. Moving on, our older sister Hadass was unable to be here, but she did send in a video, so we're going to check that out.
Hi, Ima, it's Hadass, and we all hear your oldest granddaughter. We just wanted to say Mazal Tov on the publishing of your second book. We are so proud of you. And in true Doris fashion, you have now done something that's usually only once in a lifetime, and you've done it twice. We are so excited and cannot wait to see how this journey unfolds for you, and we love you so much.
Beautiful. Hadass, David, Leo, Maya, we know you're watching live. We love you, and we're happy that you could be a part of this, even from afar. And up next is somebody else that has been absolutely crucial in this whole process, supporting our mother every single day. So without further ado, I'd like to invite up our father, Bob Hornstein.
Well, thank you all for coming to my lecture on climate change. Oh, sorry, wrong event. Good evening, everyone. It's really great to see all of you here. As you just heard, I'm Bob Hornstein, or you may know me by my more popular name, Doris's husband. Either one is fine. You know, Doris has no idea what I'm going to say up here, and I think she's a little bit nervous about that. And to be honest, I can't say I blame her. You know? So on that note, you know, I was thinking many years ago when I was a graduate student, I wrote a 140-page thesis on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and I thought that was kind of impressive. And a few years later, I became a regular contributor to an English-language Israeli magazine, and I thought that was kind of impressive. But, oh, no, no. You want to know what's truly impressive is writing a book and getting it published. And what's even more impressive is doing it in a language that is not your native tongue. And what's more impressive than that, as my daughter said, doing it twice. And that's what Doris has accomplished. 30 years ago, all I did was solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but clearly, no one was listening to me. But when you buy Doris's book, when you read her book, and you're all going to buy it, right? That's why you're all here. You're going to listen to what she has to say, because she's sharing very valuable insights that will help you become a better you in your relationship with your spouse or partner, with your family members, with your team at work, with your employees. Whatever the context is, I can tell you this book will be a valuable asset. Now, I'm guessing that most of you in this room probably haven't written a book before. So do you have any idea how much work goes into it? It's overwhelming, which is probably why I've never tried doing it myself. First, you know, you have to formulate all your thoughts and write them down or type them out. And then you have to organize them in some sort of coherent structure and then probably reorganize them multiple times until you end up with a rough manuscript. So you hire a professional editor, and you recruit volunteers to read the manuscript, to check for typos, to suggest possible edits, and then finally you end up with your second rough manuscript. And at that point, guess what? You have to recruit more volunteer readers. And in Doris's case, because most of them were Jewish, you know where I'm going with this, right? It was inevitable that there would be conflicting opinions over grammar and how this or that sentence would read, right? Eventually, it does get to the printer, right? But the printer sends back their draft, and guess what? You have to read it all over again to make sure there are no errors. You know, like, oh, the Hebrew being printed from left to right instead of right to left, insignificant little things like that. Oh, and did I mention the design of the cover when they give you 10 different options to choose from? And if you stare at them long enough, they all look the same. Yeah. So much work. But after months and months, we get this beautiful, beautiful book. Doris and I have this thing that we say to each other, that I'm the writer in the family, but she is the author, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is most impressive. Doris, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us, and we are all of us, so proud of you. I'm going to put it over here so I won't make you come up and get it. We're so proud of you, and I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say about this book. So thank you. And now I want to call up the Honorable David Kosak, who is the soon-to-be-retired senior rabbi here at Congregation Neve Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. You know, I have a very special role to play this evening, because weren't those beautiful words from her son and her husband? And the most important thing before a keynote speaker is to make sure the person before her is a little bit flat, so that when she gets up and speaks, there'll be no sense of a letdown. So that's why I am actually here. On a serious note, this is really like, it's a double honor, because Doris, you asked me to write the foreword for the book, and now to also introduce you. And it's a great book. But because I've already written the foreword, I don't have anything to say here tonight. So if you want to know what I said, I would just suggest you buy the book. Buy it early, buy it often. It's like voting. You have friends you can buy it for. You are people you don't like, you can buy it for, because this is a book that can speak to all of us. Since I'm not going to do that, let me instead say how much I enjoyed both of Doris's books. They're so effective at communicating with a soft touch, with personal stories, and maybe most important, particularly on a night like this, they convey who Doris is. So who is Doris? She's my friend, first of all, and it is always wonderful to see a friend succeed. But if you're here tonight, chances are that Doris is also your friend, and so you know then that she is what we say in Hebrew, she's a neshama. Neshama literally means soul, but in contemporary Israel, it carries a host of additional meanings. It means someone who's warm, alive, present, kind, firecracker. No, not that. But in Doris's case, her connection to Israel is so pertinent to this, because while the electrical grid in America runs at 110 volts, in Israel, the grid operates at 220 volts. Or twice the juice. And Doris is a 220-volt neshama. She's full of life, energy, passion, excitement. And on their own, those qualities would be sufficient reason for me to introduce her this evening. But what really matters is that Doris uses her 220-volt neshama for the common good. Her years as a Jewish educator indicate that. And yet, as Doris has shifted and figured out a way to share that in this beautiful coaching and speaking model, she's increasingly able to reach and have a larger impact on the greater world. Doris really does have the juice. They probably think I'm done. What Doris's new book, Choosing to Be Your Own Champion, accomplishes is to provide a roadmap so that you also can have the juice. Doris shows her readers how to cultivate a process of continual self-improvement, empowering them to become champions of their own lives. What could be kinder, more loving, or more energizing than that? In my introduction of the books you're going to buy, I mentioned how her book is a travel guide for those willing to step forward and embrace the path, leading them towards a life filled with wonders, beauty, and opportunities beyond imagination. Speaking personally, her book arrived at my doorstep at the most opportune time. After working as a congregational rabbi for over 20 years, I was beginning to notice the inner murmurings of my own soul, alerting me that it was time to reinvent myself, that life had other plans for me. But I gotta tell you, letting go of a successful career when you're at the top of your game is scary. And her book assured me that my fear wouldn't derail me. Not that it disappears, but that it wouldn't derail me. We get one life. Choosing to be your own champion, your own life champion, is an important guide to make it the life we want. It is my pleasure to both congratulate, welcome, and call up Doris Hornstein.
I came up with a system, with a six-step playbook for you to make the right choice for you. And how did I do it? I took the word choose. Some choices are so easy. You know, what should I eat for dinner? Could be easy. On the other hand, should I live in this country or in that country like me? I came to America. I left everybody that I know, all my family, behind. It wasn't an easy choice to make. But I used this playbook that now I'm sharing with each and every one of you with the hope that it will bring more solutions and opportunities to your life. I'm going to tell you something that you may feel like a nails on a chalkboard. You are 100% the product of your own choosing. It doesn't mean that whatever happened to you was your choosing, but how you respond and how you react is this. So, seeing throughout my life in the education world, in living life, in helping people become the champions that they are, I found that choices are really difficult to make. And so many people stay put in their own reality, in their own status quo, because they don't make the right choice for themselves. So I came up with a system, with a six-step playbook for you to make the right choice for you. And how did I do it? I took the word choose. And it's an acronym. Clarity, honor, openness to options, oneness with yourself, strategizing your success, and enactment, taking action. When you read my book, which has a workbook attached to it, I hope that you will do the exercises and go through the process of making those choices. I hope that it will be as helpful to you as it has been to me and so many others.
The time is now. Optimism lifts you up. Eustace song. You have the cards with you. Everybody's got your card? Look at the cards. You have the postcards. Look at the first word. Just be in the present. The time is now. Optimism lifts you. Life shows you how. Just, what's the third line? Yes to that. Growth is? Last line. Joy is your? That's right. This is the song that, by the way, I'm gifting all of you. It's the QR code behind it. And let me tell you, I have been dancing to this song every single day. And it's like so much fun. Because honestly, choosing is a choice. And choice is yours. To be happy, to be sad, to be angry, to be fearful. It's a choice. So what do we do with those choices? I do believe that every single one of us is a champion. We just don't always know it. We just don't always act like that. And I hope that when you read this book, and today we'll touch a couple of places, that you will really gain with this understanding of like, how am I a champion? So let me just start by showing you something in the Hebrew language. Okay, for those who know Hebrew, you'll tell, don't say anything yet. I'm going to ask other people. Right? Question number one. How do you say a human in Hebrew? Yes! I heard that. It's the guy in the Bible, first person, no clothes, you know, Garden of Eden. Yeah, Adam, right? That's human, Adam. And it's of built on two syllables, ah and dam, right? The ah, what letter is the ah? Aleph. You're all in a synagogue. You should all know this. Right. Aleph, the alpha letter, the first letter. The word, the letter Aleph, the name Aleph, if we change the vowels, what other word do we get? Aluf. And what does Aluf mean? Champion. So Adam has the Aleph, has the letter that actually means champion. And the word Aleph is the symbol of the presence of God or the spirit within a human being. Okay, that's ah. That's why it's not solid ending like a duh or a buh or a guh or an s. It's an ah. It's an open ending. Okay. So what does that mean? It's up to you to allow that spirit in yourself. No one takes it away from you. You have it. So let's do a little exercise. I did it last night with an executive women's meeting. And we said, and we kept it long as we can. So I want to see this. How long can you keep the spirit of a champion inside of you? On the count of three, we're all going to say, ah, and let's see how far can we go. Ready? One, breathe in. Two, three. Ah. Look at the champions here. That's it. Look at that. They're starting to shake. Yes. Okay. Clearly. Give yourself a clap. Clearly, you are champions. Now, if you think about it, the word ah, dam, so ah, we know what that means. What does dam mean? Blood. So what is blood signifies? It's the physicality, the muscles, the ligaments, the body that we all have. So what is a human in its essence? Ah, plus spirit plus physical. That's what creates us. And so on the inside, we are all champion. On the outside, we may look different. Some of us brown, some of us white, some of us Jewish, some of us not, some of us tall, some of us short, some of us Jews, some of us Christians, some of us Muslims, we're all different. But on the inside, we all have the capability of being a champion. And that's why I wanted to bring this book. Now, when did the book really was born? It was born during COVID time. Because if you remember March 2020, not very good time. Everybody's stressed. Nobody knows what to do. Should I get the vaccine? Should I not? Should I get on that bus? Should I not? Should I go on the plane to visit my daughter who was pregnant and having her first child? Should I not? Should I put a mask on or should I not? All these decisions. Should I go to my friend's house for dinner? Should I not? All these questions, all these choices that we had to make. So I became fascinated with this whole idea of making choices. And I said to myself, okay, just write a couple of articles. Get it out of your system. So I did. I wrote a couple of articles. I put it on my blog. I put it on LinkedIn. And then I was like, no, there's more choices that people are making. So I kept on writing. And that became a book. And let me tell you, when I wrote Moments of the Heart, I said, I'm never writing another book again. Be careful what you say. Yeah? Because words create worlds. So what is the words that are coming out of our mouths? Right? I talk about that in the book. In how you say things, not only what you say, but how you say it. With what energy do you say those words? With what kind of convictions do you say them? Because each and every one of us has energy inside of us. And as a matter of fact, quantum physics will tell you that our energies actually goes out 6 feet out of our bodies. Did you know that? I was like fascinated when I learned this. I'm like, what? Yes. So just so you understand, what energy am I talking about? Put your hands like this together. Rub, rub, rub. Do you feel the heat? That heat is actually energy. And your energy, your body, emits this energy. And you all know that. Because when you go to a meeting or you go to a place and you go into that place, you feel the energy of the room, don't you? Right? You will do. So the question is, how responsible are you to the energy that you bring into a room? We all have done things that we say, oh, God, no, that's not the energy I want. But then how strong are we to not to go down the energy of other people, right? Raise your hand if you ever came to a room and you were happy, but you left the meeting and you were not happy, right? Yeah, right? Health happened to all of us. Okay, so I digressed a little bit because I wanted to actually start with something completely different. I wanted to start with a blessing. We are in a synagogue. It's a blessing I wrote at the very beginning of the book. A lot of the time people say that the words are, I put the transliteration, but the English, it's not appearing like that in all the books. It's the most common way. You'll see, blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and brought us to this. That's in many, many books. I don't like that because I know the Hebrew. I know the Hebrew, and the Hebrew is not brought us. And the Hebrew is vehigianu, which means enable us to arrive. And so think about the difference in the words, enabling you to arrive somewhere or brought you somewhere. And when I think about brought you somewhere, I'm thinking of a little kid we bring to school. You want it, you're not, you're going, right? But enable us to arrive is we are partners in this arriving wherever we go. So I want us to all say this blessing together. Even if you don't believe in God for today, for just a second, pretend. Okay, here we go. So we're going to say the Hebrew and then we're going to say the English together. Ready? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Shehechayanu vekiyamanu vehigiyanu lazman hazeh. And in English, blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to arrive at this occasion. Who has granted us life. Every morning when we wake up, there is no assurance that we wake up. There is no assurance that we wake up. I don't know if you've heard of other people that die in their sleep, but I did. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, my daughter from Philadelphia, right? Her friend, her husband, who is 32 years old, did not wake up. Shocking. The mother is pregnant and they have a 17 months old. And did not wake up. How does this happen? And we have this built-in prayer in the morning when we say, thank you, God, for giving us our spirit back. A Jew is invited to say this line, it's called the Moda Ani, thank I, which is a whole different section by itself about, and I talk about it in this book. I said, you know, when in life do we start by saying the word thank versus the word I? Most of our English is I, finish up, right? Subject first, verb, object. But not in this case. When we are thanking for our life, we actually say, thank I, you, whoever you, the spirit, that now we're here. So I want you to think for a second about the concept of gratitude. Because the more grateful you are for the little things in life, guess what is the result of being grateful? Do you know what is the one thing that is connected immediately for being grateful? Happiness and joy. Yes, exactly. The more you are grateful for something, the more joy you have. And I make a distinction between being joyful than being happy. Because happy is, my husband got me a new car. He didn't, but let's say he did. Let's say, right? He didn't yet. He did, you know. He's going to, but he didn't yet. So he gets me a new car. I'm happy. I've got a car, right? But that happiness, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, then, okay, I'm happy. Joy is internal. Joy doesn't depend on the things that I have. Joy is, I'm grateful to the things that I'm experiencing, not the material things. And that's why I love the whole idea of going from oi to joy. And our people have had a lot of joy and a lot of oi. The oi, since October 7, we all experienced it, right? Oi. Oi, when we say oi, we mean bad things. So it's either bad things that happen, bad emotions that we feel. So how do we go from oi to joy? Through being that champion. So I want to also, I'm going to do a little teaching, but not a lot, because I do want us to have a good time and dance and all that kind of stuff. So first of all, a little thanks. And as a speaker, as a professional speaker, you know, they teach us, don't ever start a talk thanking people. Start with a punch of some sort and then go into thanking. So I did that. So I marked that spot off. Check. Okay, so first of all, I want to thank my children. They're the best children in the whole world. And here, Ben is in charge. He's my husband, my son's husband. And he's in charge of the slideshow. And all of the great clicks happening is him. You know, I mean, yeah. And my husband for being really a supporter of mine and a partner in all of these things. Because if you think that there was no fear involved after 30 years in Jewish education to just get up and do something completely different, you would be wrong. Okay, there's a lot of fear. And when we have fear, one of the ways to get over the fear is having a community of support. And for me, the first thing was my husband. So thank you. Yeah. I actually take my leaving of my previous career and I demo it in the book, how to go through the 6 step to this book. And I take you through what was going in my head, what are the conversations that I've had, and how did I end up doing this. And so I thought to myself, because I wanted to give you a tangible experience. So when you think of your choices, go through what I was going through. And then you understand how to work it for you. Okay? So I want to thank Rabbi Kozak for hosting us here and for being a dear friend and a rabbi that I, you know, in nowadays, and maybe it's because I worked for 30 years in education, I don't follow many rabbis. So you are one of the rabbis that I think, you are my rabbi, and I so value the things that you say, and I always know I can learn from you. I always know that, and so thank you. And I know the next phase in your life is going to be amazing. I just know that. And watch out for a book coming out by Rabbi Kozak. Yeah, that will be amazing. And you know, there is no champion that doesn't have champions around them. Champions surround themselves with other people. And this evening, you already saw some champions, and they are the people who helped you buy some books, and they will help you again at the end to buy more books and raffles. Okay? These are my champions, Shandy and Kathleen and Arlene and Annette and Edil and Raquel. They were my sales team. But then I had more than them. I had people, 26 angels that brought food, And you will see that after that, when you go to the Isaac Foyer, we have wine and food and with people that have been helping. So, you know, I wrote all the names down because God forbid I should forget anybody. We have, of course, Judy and Carla and Debbie and Mimi and Debbie. Oh, by the way, you have to see this cake out there. There's a cake out there. Mimi got it, and it's the shape of my book. You got to take pictures because we were all like, oh, my God. Okay, you got to see this. And Lisa and Dale and Linda and Sue and Sandy, all of them brought food. And did I forget anybody? I'm hoping I didn't. Jan. I said Jan. Oh, no, I did not yet. I didn't say Rosie either. I have not gotten to this live. Rosie and Stephanie and Kate and Serena. I had more names here. Yeah. More names here. Yes. And also the videographer, Adam, and his friend right there. Linoy was helping. And Annika. How can I forget this? Oh, my God. Annika. So, you know, it's like it's everybody working together to create what we did. And it's all about choosing your friends, choosing your community. And the word choose, it's actually really interesting. Because choose to be your own champion. You know, could I come up with a different word, you know, instead of choose? No, I couldn't. Because, you know why? Because I was thinking of the Hebrew language. The word choose in Hebrew is livchor, okay, bachar. Now, if you take those letters, and this is something that doesn't exist in the English language, okay? I'm coming... Okay, this book is a mix of two of Doris's. The educator from past years, and then the speaker and the positive intelligence from here to the future. And this book is like a mix of both of them. So here is part of my past that I'm bringing here. The word to choose is livchor. And Hebrew is called a language of essence, which means that there is no author for this language. Unlike English, which is called a language of accord, which means a bunch of people came and they decided how to create this language, okay? In the Hebrew language, when three letters are appearing in different words, that means that there is an underlying meaning behind this. And when you know Hebrew, most of the time, we don't even realize that. So take this word choose as an example, okay? The word choose is livchor, and I write it in the book, and I write it in transliteration and in Hebrew. And it's the letter bet, chet, and resh. But if you take the same letters and you mix them up a little bit, just change the order, you either get cherev, which means a sword, or chaver, which means a friend. Okay? So what does that mean? Every choice in life either brings you toward connectivity, i.e. chaver, friendship, connectivity, like you are in a line, or cherev, which means a sword, which means strife. So when you make your choice, whatever that is, it's either bring you closer to where you intended to be, to where your champion comes to life, or it takes you away from it. Now, some of the choices that we make in life are simple choices, as I said that before in the video. But other choices are really important. Some choices are eternal. Once you make that choice, no return. Children. Love them. I'm not returning anyone. No, they're here. Yeah? But some other choices are not eternal. Now, some choices are internal. You are deciding it between you and yourself, inside your heart, and some choices are external, okay? So most of the book, that all the choices that I talk about in the book are internal choices. It's choices about how you can become better. So when I ask you, what does the word champion means to you? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? You're the best that you can be. Yes. What? The greatest. Your own advocate. Yes. And don't we want that? Don't we want to be our own advocate? Because let me tell you, and I know that, if I don't advocate for myself, why would I expect other people to advocate for me? Right? So advocating for ourselves is number one. Now, in the book, I have a QR code, because the educator that I am, I created a workbook. And it's like a 90-page workbook. Yes. This is 2 years of coaching material if you're a coach. Literally. And this step by step will get you to an incredible realization and awareness about who you are and what you need to work on. And it does without blame or shame. Because the first thing is acknowledge where we are. Without feeling guilty, without feeling, oh my God, I'm less than. It's the idea of be the best, and this is your way. And I said yesterday, I said, it will work for you if you work it. And Latasha put it on LinkedIn this last night, and I love that. Thank you, Latasha. So this is the book. Now, sometimes in this book, as I was writing this book, I said to myself, you know, I don't know everything. Big surprise. And I said, I need people who experience this choosing, because I haven't. And I thought of three main areas that I wanted to include in the book, but I did not know how it feels. So I turned to people who actually experienced it. And I want to honor them now, because that was 3 years ago? Was it 3 years ago that I reached out to you? A long time. They actually were surprised that the book came out. They're like, what? You know? Yes. And it was one of them was Aging with Intention. You know, I want to, and I thought to myself, I don't want to find somebody my age. I want to find somebody who is more veteran, who is seasoned, who has lived longer than me, much longer than me. And how do we age with intention? We don't think about that. We don't think about it when we are 40s or 30s, but we think about it when we're 70s. I think about it now when I'm going to be soon 60. So I'm like, okay, how do I age with intention? What does that mean? And so I was honored that Sherry Cordova said, I will be writing this for you. Yes, everybody clap. Yeah. And Sherry and I knew each other. Actually, Sherry gave me my first teaching job ever at Neve Shalom in 1987 when she was the program director of this congregation. So thank you for being my friend all these years. All these years. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. You know, my son, there was an entry in the book that is that you will read stories. You, if you know me, you still are going to learn stories about me that you probably did not know. Yes. And one of them is how my son, Matan, who is right here, came to us, to me, and told me that he's gay. And I tell the story in great details. And the idea is that you will feel that, because I want you to feel what a mother feels for her son, which is unconditional love. And yet I want you to feel also the agony of a son who grew up in a conservative household and who was primed to marry what we all thought traditionally and have children in a normal way, and then what will happen. And you can see that conversation between me and my son as we're traveling to the beach in a car, just the two of us. And then I said I need to write something, but I didn't want to choose my son to write it, because I narrate that story. I needed somebody who has experienced it, who made this decision, and who live fully in their space and is proud of that. And in a way that is full of vulnerability, Liza agreed to write for me that entry. So Liza, thank you very much for doing this. Yes. Yes. And then people know that I'm very proud Jew. I mean, I walk with a Jew on my forehead, you know. When I go speak in on stages, people know I'm Israeli. People know I'm Jewish. I don't hide it. I don't hide the love that I have for humanity. And then, in all my years, I saw people wanting to join the 0.2% of the American population, and it bewildered me. Why would anyone want to join us? Like, why? But anti-Semitism is rising, you know. It's not a cool thing to be a Jew or to be in Israel. Like, why would anybody want to be us? We're awesome, but like, why? And then I remembered that my father-in-law, may his memory be of blessing, he used to be working he volunteered in a Bet Din at Neve Shalom Synagogue for decades. And he would be sitting there listening to people who choose the Jewish peoplehood. And I thought, wow, I want to look at his folder. So I start reading his folder about all the what goes in the mind of somebody that wants to change the religion, that chooses a different religion. And I was fascinated with it. And at the very beginning of the book writing, I thought I'll go more toward that. And then I decided, no, I'm just going to choose one person that made that choice and have been doing that choice in the most honorable way. She brings honor to us as Jewish people, to us as what we can be. Her goodness, her giving, her spirit, her loyalty is just beyond. So I chose Annette, and Annette said yes to write this for me. And thank you, Annette, for being part of us. Now, you guys are seeing those three people. In the book, it's just their first name. That's it. You guys are getting the glimpse, the inside. All the other people will never know who are Sherry or who are Liza or who is Annette. All right? There's no last name. Because it doesn't matter for the rest of the people. But I wanted here to recognize their contribution to make this book what it is. And so thank you, the three of you, from the bottom of my heart for making this book so rich. And one more moment of gratitude is when you write a book, the hardest thing is to edit what you say. Because you think everything is important. And at the beginning, you have 50,000 words, and you have to cut it down to 32,000. And you're like, what? I'm not cutting the one word out. Okay? But I had the best editor a person could have. And day and night, she has been working to make this book my vision to what I wanted to see. She would sometimes call me and says, you know, Doris, that sounds a little harsh. And she was right. It did sound harsh. So I needed sometimes to soften it. Because I say in the book that one of the things, you know, I talk about choosing different choices, and one of them is choosing empathy. And to tell you the truth, I found out I'm not as empathetic as I was thinking I am. Yes, yes, yes. I have to grow in my empathy, for sure, right? And my dear Jennifer was the one who, in a gentle way, always made me rethink about what do I want to actually say and for it to fall on ready ears. So thank you, my friend Jennifer, and my beautiful friend. Yes, yes. But you see, even with amazing editor, the most important part is how does it land on people? How does it land on people? And I had a group of 10 people who read my book and freely gave me their advice. And sometimes you have to grow thick skin to get everybody's advice, right? But I know that their advice was good, and it made the book what it is. So here, we don't have everybody here, but Dale and Sabi and Jimmy and Rosie, and I think these are the people that are here. Everybody else was online, and of course, Rabbi, but yeah, Rosie, and yeah. And no, is Noah here? No, Noah is not here. Okay. Okay, so, yeah. So these are the people that have been, and you know what? They put hours into reading my manuscript and to tell me what they thought. They put notes on the side and handed back to me with things that to think about if I want to have it or not have it. This is what friendship is so important and all about. So thank you so much. And I have a plant, a small plant for each one. So Sabi and Jimmy over there. Dale is in the middle. Rosie's over here. Yes. But also Noah and Lori. I don't think Lori is here. She told me she can't make it. Lori and Natalie and Lisa. Lisa Berkeley and Bill Carmody. All of them. So thank you. Do you know that... You find Rosie? They gave you? Okay. Do you know that 80% of people struggle with indecision, according to the Harvard Business Review? 80% of people. So there's a lot of people who need this book. A lot of people, 80% of us. 80% of us need this book. Yes, yes. And it's a response. This book is a response to all the challenges that I've seen. And I start this book... A couple years ago, I was visiting Philadelphia and being with my daughter and my granddaughter, and I was reading her a book, and here's the first words, and let's see if you guys know how it continues. Let's see if you know who is it from. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And you are the guy who will decide where to go. Bottom line, when I was reading this to her, suddenly I stopped. I'm like, oh my God, that's the opening of my book. You know, those moments, sometimes you look at things are happening and then you say, ah, that's it. So how many times in your life do you have that, ah, that's it, I got it, okay? And that you will see that jiggling with excitement when I get things right in the book. In the book, I wanna move to the next slide. Is the clarity. I wanna go through the six steps in a really quick way. Yeah, and I'm combining all of my Jewish knowledge, being education director, positive intelligence expert, speaking to hundreds of people. And having people confide in me in ways that I feel so blessed. Okay, the first part when you ever make any choice in life is, are you clear about it? It's clarity. So many times we have things in our heads that prevents us. And we call those things saboteurs. I bring in positive intelligence. And I give you the option in the book to actually take the assessment and to see what are your saboteurs. Because we all have them. There is nobody, including me, who wrote this book that doesn't have saboteurs, okay? We all have. The question is our awareness level. You know, where are we? You know, are we in control of our mind or are we letting our mind control us? You know, Brené Brown said, are we a thinking machine that sometimes feel or are we a feeling machine that sometimes think? What do you think? We are a feeling machine that sometimes thinks, but here's the thing. Knowing that we're feeling machines, are we going to let the feeling overcome our choices? Are we going to go down that road that is completely moved by the feelings and the emotions that we have in the present moment? Or are we able to distance ourselves? As I said yesterday, are you letting your feeling feed you and fuel you? Rather you stepping up and you say, no, I'm going to stop being angry, stop being shamed, stop being fearful, stop being feeling the imposter syndrome. We all have those negative feelings. So this clarity section is understanding where you are. The second step is honor. Honor our feelings. Whenever there is a choice that we make, it's sometimes it could be a hard choice. Sometimes it can make us feel sad. So have that honor. And then don't let that be the driver of your decision. The third thing is openness to options. Sometimes we think we have no options. We either have to do this or this. But in truth, we do have options, so many. So can we consider? And every single step here is connected to a positive intelligence game. So when you get the workbook, you will see how it all blends in with the overall structure of positive intelligence. And then we go into oneness with yourself, the second O. And you know that oneness with yourself because I say our kishkes will tell us. Our kishkes is our own gut, okay? That's a word in Yiddish that we say for gut. You have a gut feeling, Jews will say kishke, okay? That's right here. So that's the oneness with yourself. And how beautiful it is when you feel solid in your decision, that you don't feel like torn, okay? So pay attention to that. And the next thing is S, is the strategizing your success. You made that choice. Now, who else do you need to bring along? When I left my job, I needed to bring Bob along, right? First thing, right? So I needed to convince him that that's a good thing. And at the beginning, it was not so easy, right? Because it's hard to jump from a thing that you know to a thing that you don't know. And I was jumping to a thing I don't know. I don't know how to be a speaker in front of people who are not Jewish. How do I go into a conference and be an opening speaker? I don't know. So I was jumping. And then I knew that as I jump, I will learn how to swim. But at the beginning, I had to convince me and my husband that it will be okay. And I needed to self-talk my own self. Like, this is going to be good. We're going to make it. Okay? And then the last one, the E, enactment, taking action. So often we're paralyzed and we don't take the final action. So what is a step that you can do? One step. Every day, one step to get to where you want to be. And when you do that in every choice, you will arrive to the right decision. Now, here is the thing. What happens if you make a mistake? Exactly. You know, yes, exactly. You can re-choose. You can re-choose. And exactly. But here is the thing. Every choice that you make brings you to the next decision. Every single one. You know, life is not, you're not stopping. Life continues. And if you think about that for, you know, so there was this Jewish, I'm adding something. By the way, I'm going completely off script, as you may imagine. Does it matter? Does it? Okay, but I wanted to know, in the temple time, right, when the temple was built in Jerusalem, there were no stairs leading up to the temple. There was a ramp. And one of the questions that rabbis would ask, like, why there's no stairs leading into the temple? There was a ramp. You know why? What? Make it accessible to all people. Everybody could go. That's right. See, even in temple time, we were ahead of ourselves. But also, because when there is stairs, you stop. You stop. You say, you know what? It's hard enough. I'm going to stop on that stair and I'm going to sit down here. Right? If you ever gone to Masada, you know what I mean. There is a step and that's where I stop. Right? But here, it's a ramp. You keep on walking because it's slanted and you keep on going. That's life. That's life. You keep on going. So these are the six steps in life. And when you do that, you become the champion of your own life. You know, I don't know if in the live stream I have my team, not from the United States, on. But if they are, I want to give that moment. I have these two women created this slide deck. Ben has been tuning it and making it amazing. but my Nathalie and my Jackie has been working behind the scene. Because my life is so busy, which is a wonderful thing, I have a team. And I, you know, nobody can do it by themselves, right? We said it before. And so if Nathalie or Jackie are listening to this right now, thank you, and I hope I made you proud. And I don't know if that's the camera or where is the camera, but I'm looking up. I'm looking up. Okay. We talked about the raffle, right? That's the next one. It's the videos. I want you to watch. This is my dad's synagogue in November of 2023. I took the words out. It had words in it, and I took them out. I just wanted you to see. It's a 40-second. It was these two guys that were found on a video but never found. They were detected by nearby camera, and it was literally all of it was destroyed except miraculously the Torahs. Miraculously. Like, how is that? I don't know. But my dad built the synagogue in 1974. He worked in construction, and after his work, regular work, he would come and he will build this. This is my brother. This is my brother who has taken on the responsibility of rebuilding the synagogue. I have the best family a person could have. And he's asking here, he's speaking in Hebrew, and he's asking for, you know, anybody that can donate things. You know, he's speaking to Israelis who can donate materials or money or anything. To rebuild. They fixed some of the stuff, but look at that. This is 2 years. This is April 2025. So I'm going to Israel on Monday with my boys to a wedding. And I thought to myself, what a beautiful thing will be if I will give money from all of you. Which, by the way, in Jewish tradition, if somebody goes to Israel, you give them money to go along because that assures that they will arrive safely there. So if you're giving money to the synagogue, you're actually helping all of us get to Israel safely. Yeah. So at this moment, I would like to stop. So we have our sales team. If you want to donate, I'm going to stop here for literally 5 minutes, and we're going to play some music, and you can go. And in the process, also, you guys will give the next piece. So if you want, just raise your hand. They'll come over and they'll come over. So raise your hand and you all go. רואה שאני רוצה להיות טוב, רק לא יוצא לי. חסרות לי כולה כמה תפילות. והשם הוא גם ראה את הרצון שהיה לי. כשניסיתי לו אמרתי לו השם. רואה בביזיון שלי במר שהרגשתי איך התחלתי שוב כל יום מחדש והשם התברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב השם התברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב ויהיה לי עוד יותר טוב ועוד יותר טוב ועוד יותר טוב מרחם עליי ותמיד עונה לי ואם עדיין לא ממשיך לחכות מלא אותי בזה שאתה תמיד אוהבתי תיתן לי כל יום מחדש מתנות ותניד אותי ברחמים כאלו כמו שבעולם הזה נקרא רחמים שירו כולם שכן אתה שומע תפילות ונחייך נהיה בריאים ונשים שהשם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב ויהיה לי עוד יותר טוב ועוד 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 יותר טוב ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב ותהיה לי פרנסה תהיה לי עשירות ורווקים ורווקות תהיה להם סיווג תהיה גם רפואה שלמה ובריאות איתנה חיים יפים מאושרים שנה אחרי שנה
השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. ויהיה לי עוד יותר טוב ועוד 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 יותר טוב ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. השם הוא אבא טוב והוא תמיד מתפאר בי, רואה בי רק את הנקודות הטובות, רואה שאני רוצה להיות טוב רק לא יוצא לי, חסרות לי כולה כמה תפילות. והשם הוא גם ראה את הרצון שהיה לי כשניסיתי לו אמרתי לו השם, רואה בביזיון שלי במר שהרגשתי איך התחלתי שוב כל יום מחדש. והשם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. ויהיה לי עוד יותר טוב ועוד 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 יותר טוב ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. שומע מרחם עליי ותמיד עונה לי ואם עדיין לא ממשיך לחכות, מלא אותי בזה שאתה תמיד אוהבתי, תיתן לי כל יום מחדש מתנות ותניג אותי ברחמים כאלו כמו שבעולם הזה נקרא רחמים, שירו כולם שכן אתה שומע תפילות ונחייך נהיה בריאים ונשיר. שהשם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. ויהיה לי עוד יותר טוב ועוד 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 יותר טוב ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. ותהיה לי פרנסה, תהיה לי עשירות ורווקים ורווקות, תהיה להם סיווג, תהיה גם רפואה שלמה ובריאות איתנה, חיים יפים מאושרים שנה אחרי שנה. השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. ויהיה לי עוד יותר טוב ועוד 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 יותר טוב ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. השם הוא אבא טוב והוא תמיד מתפאר בי, רואה בי רק את הנקודות הטובות, רואה שאני רוצה להיות טוב רק לא יוצא לי, חסרות לי כולה כמה תפילות. והשם הוא גם ראה את הרצון שהיה לי כשניסיתי לו אמרתי לו השם, רואה בביזיון שלי במר שהרגשתי איך התחלתי שוב כל יום מחדש. והשם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. השם יתברך תמיד אוהב אותי ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. ויהיה לי עוד יותר טוב ועוד 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 יותר טוב ותמיד יהיה לי רק טוב. שומע מרחם עליי ותמיד עונה לי ואם עדיין לא ממשיך לחכות,
מלא אותי בזה שאת תמיד אוהבת אני כמו מחדש מתן ותניד אותי ברחמים כאלו כמו שבעולם הזה נקרא רחמים
Alright, it seems like we're all, yeah, last call. Okay. Can we get all the raffle tickets to put in there? Can we get the raffle? Anybody else wants more tickets? We're good. Okay. Okay, we're going to put them all in the raffle. Meantime, okay, can we do
it?
Okay, we're going to move on as they're preparing the raffle. Okay, perfect. Add them. Yeah. Okay. So by now, exciting. Before we announce as they're planning this, you all have flashlights, right? Okay. This is the time I want you to know that each and every one of you brings a light to this world. And have you ever been in a place that was very dark? Yeah. You may be emotionally, maybe, you know, literally. One candle, one light can light up everything. Now imagine if you're in that room and there's more than one with a flashlight. The room is full of light. I believe that each one of us is a light. And that's why I thought that I want to finish today with reading the very last piece of my book where I talk about the light that you have and the light that is within you and the light of joy. And I want to finish this beautiful pre-launch with you feeling and knowing that you have what it takes. So let me read it, and then we're going to do a dance with that. Which when I say dance, I mean just standing up. Okay? I was a dance teacher in my youth, in my time, and there are some people here that maybe have learned dance with me. Yes, there was. But just this. So in the Talmud, it is written, Ner le'echad, ner le'me'ah, a candle for one, a light for many. Each candle is instrumental in bringing light to this world. This is, by the way, the very last entry of this book is called Choosing to Change. Choosing to change indicates finding the path that will better fit your soul. As you read all the steps in the book, beginning with clarity and moving through honor, openness, oneness, strategy, and enactment, I hope you experience the light I'm describing. Every choice you make has the possibility to bring you toward that light. The light I'm referring to already exists within you and has the potential to align you with a life full of meaning and purpose. I simply call this light the true expression of joy. What is our ultimate purpose? I believe that each one of us has unique individual purpose, a specific task we are here to fulfill. Yet there is also a universal purpose that unites us all, to bring light into the world through our values, principles, voices, and actions. Have you ever been in a dark room? I call it being in a state of oy, a Yiddish word used when things do not go well, when there are difficulties and challenges all around you. Can you imagine the impact of light from one candle in that dark room? You can be that light. You have the power to light your own path. You can move from oy to joy. And you also have the power to illuminate the path for many people. Move them from oy to joy. I invite you
to make the choice and be that light. You are that light. Until next time, be positive, be yourself, be the champion you want to see. So, let's make light. And this song that you're going to hear is another song using the exact same words on your postcard, but just in a Middle Eastern style. So let's stand up and let's do this. Flash, flash, and the videos will be amazing here on this one. Yes, and then just move it and dance it and dance it. There's no, make louder. Yes. Yes. Oh my God, this is so lovely. Look around, turn around and you can see everybody. This is cool.
Just be in the present, the time is now. Optimism leads to life, shows you how. Yes to that mindset, growth leads the way. Joy is your choice, choose it every day.
Do you feel the Middle Eastern part?
Now, optimism lifts you, life shows you how. Yes to that mindset, growth leads the way. Joy is your choice, choose it every day.
You have to go to Middle Eastern restaurant if you haven't been to.
Choice, choose it every day.
Yes, everybody. Okay, yeah. All right. Just everybody, here we go. Raffle time. Raffle time. Here we go. Drum, 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 drum. You can take your flashlight. It is my gift to you. Ready? Oh, here we go. Here we go. And you can choose whatever you want out of these three. Oh, here's one. 10408008. White ticket. 10408-008. Which one? Color? White? Yeah. You have it? Oh, my God, Jennifer! Awesome, Jennifer! Okay, red, red, here's red. 30910122. Which one? Who's got it?
122 red.
122 red, ending with 122 red.
30910122.
Yeah! Yes, you're a winner. And then the last one, and you come and tell me what you want. 10408. Last three, white, 333. 333. Okay, we're going to try it again. Yes! All right. Yes. Okay, so come to me. You choose whatever you want, and it's yours. So now we have food, we have wine, we have lots of things, wonderful things. Go to the foyer, to Isaac Foyer, and help yourself with lots of food. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you, everybody. Go enjoy, and please, again, buy books. Buy for yourself, for your team, for your loved ones. They are all outside, and our salespeople are waiting for you. Thank you. Mazal tov.
Make sure you send it to my friend. bag. No, no, it's all good.
$100 for specials.
This was no, it was I ordered them from Timmy.
Oh, Timmy. Oh, you can't do that anymore.
I know, right?
Yeah. A free ebook.
Like, how do you make sure that this is selling in a store that someone doesn't just do this?
I'm not sure. It must be a code specific. Is it? Like, where is it? Is it sign your name clearly? So sign your name, complete the form. You or your friend. Says it. How would you, if it's in a bookstore, like, how would you?
Yeah, this is a big stage. This is a big stage. Wow, you can put a lot here. Hello.